that station.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
And you can ensure that WBAI is here for you now and in the future through WBAI's Tower Fund. Go to towerfund.wbai.org and contribute what you can to ensure that the room which houses WBAI's transmitter at 4 Times Square, which costs $17,000 a month, is paid through the coming year. Please go to towerfund.wbai.org or phone 212-209-2950 to help secure WBAI's future.
Hey. Thank you to all of you for contributing. And we hope that you are. We hope that you will decide to make a contribution in support of this commercial-free, listener-sponsored radio station.
Stay tuned for Ecologic coming up. It's 2:31 p.m. and this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth and telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna cry. For Mother Earth, makes me wanna cry. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Stella Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for January 14th, 2022.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Climate change.
After a nuclear reactor closes.
Disposing of waste.
Our two guests today will tell us more. Manna, please introduce yourself.
Thank you. I'm Manna Jo Green. I'm the Environmental Action Director for Hudson River Sloop Clearwater, and I also moonlight as a legislator on the Ulster County Legislature, where I chair the Energy and Environment Committee and the Climate Smart Committee. And I coordinate a 7-county Mid-Hudson Regional Energy Working Group.
Yay.
We have to give you something to keep busy. And Hannah?
Hi, my name is Hannah Smay. I'm a digital organizer with the Nuclear Information and Resource Service, which is a nonprofit based in Tacoma Park, Maryland. And I'm located in Idaho, and I also work with the Snake River Alliance, which is a nuclear watchdog in Idaho.
So tell us, what has to happen after a nuclear power plant closes?
Well, the first thing that has to happen is they have to plan for decommissioning. So if they haven't submitted already, they need to submit a post-shutdown activities report, which is a plan for the decommissioning. In the case of Indian Point, they submitted that well in advance of closing, so we know what that is. But that would detail how and on what timeline they plan to empty the fuel pools and little by little take the structures of the facility apart, and what they plan to do with the waste and what they plan to do with the equipment and structural material that becomes waste when they deconstruct the facility.
Sounds like a complicated process.
Yeah.
What, you said a lot with that yes?
So there's a lot of leftover waste, right? They haven't been able to move anything off the property until while it's running. So what happens next? Where does it go?
Well, we hope that it will stay on site until there is some safe national repository or perhaps a regional repository. Transporting high-level nuclear waste is extremely dangerous. And right now, there is no national repository. One had been proposed at Yucca Mountain, but it's been determined that that is really not a viable site in Nevada. And instead, there is a plan that is trying to get approval, but there's a lot of objection to what is called consolidated interim storage, but it's not really interim. It could be very long-term, if not permanent. And the facilities are, the proposed facilities and actual, are located in New Mexico and Texas. And these are two areas that have already been burdened with both nuclear waste or atomic energy, atomic weapons testing back with Trinity, as a result of the Manhattan Project. And also in these areas, the mining, milling, processing of uranium for both nuclear power and nuclear weapons has taken place. So we feel that it's an environmental justice issue of not taking highly radioactive material from roughly 100 nuclear facilities around the country and shipping it through, in some cases, wherever the railroad goes, communities that are also have been identified as environmental justice or potential environmental justice communities.
Right.
The danger is huge.
Hannah, is the federal government involved? What kind of decommissioning legislation is there?
Manna Joe, do you want to answer that? I think that you've been working more closely on the decommissioning legislation. I apologize.
All right.
Donna, repeat your question, please, or Sally.
Yeah, actually, I was asking about what federal legislation there is. I guess it, in terms of financing as well as just the process itself. Or either of you.
Yeah, we know from how we've discussed with you in the past that how horrible the political process is involved in the decommissioning and all the legislation. So whatever insights you can give us into what's needed to be done for the legislation to pass.
Well, I think what's most urgent in that regard has to do with subsidies to the nuclear industry. And that is something that I think Hannah can address. Thank you.
Right. So in terms of federal legislation, the main federal legislation that has to do with nuclear reactors that should be decommissioned is actually a federal subsidy that will continue the operation of aging and uneconomical nuclear reactors. And this is a subsidy that's currently in the Build Back Better Act, the infamous big legislation infrastructure bill that President Biden's administration has been trying to pass for many, many months now. And so according to our math, this would cost about $35 billion of the total Build Back Better Act, and that would be dedicated to keeping open, it's a tax credit to nuclear reactors and the corporations that own and operate them.
Does it have a dollar amount?
Yeah, it's $35
billion. $35 billion with a B.
With a B, $35 billion with a B, and that's actually on top of a $6 billion bailout that was already passed in the bipartisan infrastructure bill that was designed also to keep uneconomical nuclear reactors open. And so this is actually a redundant bailout in the Build Back Better Act. It just gives a kind of a doubled amount to the same reactors that are already eligible for a different bailout, a different tax credit, and the bipartisan infrastructure bill. So the total is actually about $41 billion across both the bipartisan infrastructure bill and the Build Back Better Act.
And that is going to result, if these nuclear subsidies go through, that will result in more and more high-level nuclear waste that has to be managed on the site or transported. The one thing I do want to add, though, is that for the infrastructure bill, we called our congressman, Antonio Delgado, since he was on the infrastructure committee, and stressed that although we oppose shipping nuclear waste across the country, if you're going to be improving infrastructure, a focus on those overpasses and roads and rail, the infrastructure that would have to bear the weight of this very heavy transport and dangerous material, that those should be given priority so that you could strengthen those routes if they are going to be used, and to consider setting funds aside in the infrastructure bill to improve safety. But again, we absolutely oppose shipping nuclear waste across the country to communities that are primarily First Nation and Latinx communities that have already been overburdened with nuclear radiation.
You have sent us some very disturbing photographs of times in which trucks and barges were damaged by that we're carrying nuclear waste, we have proof, visual documentation that trucks have been overturned with nuclear waste in it. It's a very scary proposition. Trains that go through with waste can derail. Trucks can have an accident. Bridges can fall down. I mean, it's just too risky. We're playing Russian roulette with the communities through the United States.
Yeah, that's
what alternative do we have?
Well, the best alternative is to, for now, keep the waste on site, but store it as safely as possible. And that raises many, many questions here in New York, with Indian Point having closed recently and going through a decommissioning process. We've brought those questions to the Decommissioning Oversight Board and are asking that they bring experts in to advise them, so that New York agencies can, to the degree they have jurisdiction, ensure the safest possible. And the first step is getting the old nuclear waste out of overcrowded fuel pools and moved into a canister, and then that canister is put into a concrete cask and stored there indefinitely. Those canisters contain the highly radioactive fuel rods that is a legacy of, more than 40 years of operation of the reactors at Indian Point.
How are they getting away with this? Hannah?
Yeah. Again?
How are they getting away with this? I mean, trucking nuclear waste that's that dangerous across thousands of miles across country, how are they getting away with that?
People aren't paying attention. Go ahead, Nana. Sorry.
I would say that the way they're getting away with it is that basically the Nuclear Regulatory Commission very lacks commission. Their mission should be to protect public health and safety, but it often ends up being protecting the industry for whatever the industry wants to do to make a profit. And that's why it's so important that we bring these issues to Congress, because it's only Congress that can, create the regulations that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission should follow. And there are other ways to address it through federal and state Department of Transportation, if you're talking about transportation, and other permits that need to be issued. And I know, for example, the states of Texas and New Mexico are pushing back with statewide legislation to try and protect their communities. I think the real issue is that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is allowing exemptions and waivers and kind of looking the other way all too often. And we're documenting that and bringing it to, in New York, the Decommissioning Oversight Board and to our congressional delegation.
In the time we have left, Hannah, what is the climate and energy footprint of nuclear waste?
The climate and energy footprint of nuclear power is very high. The nuclear power plants, between, the whole process of fuel, the whole nuclear fuel chain from mining and milling and processing and transportation to constructing nuclear power plants to transporting the waste is a very high carbon footprint, and is not, and there's so much upfront cost, and there are so many nuclear power plants that don't actually end up ever being put online, that that is a huge upfront carbon cost that we cannot justify. Mm-hmm. And we are so much better off investing our federal dollars, this huge infrastructure bill, into true renewable energy sources, wind, solar, battery storage, energy efficiency. That would create so many more jobs than that would actually create jobs, whereas keeping nuclear reactors online that should be decommissioned would actually not create any new jobs. It would keep certain jobs online temporarily, but by investing that money into renewables and new energy generation, we could actually create thousands and thousands of new green jobs that will support American families and succeed in getting the point of the Build Back Better Act across.
So what do people do in order to contact Congress to focus on the Build Back Better Act?
You can visit the Nuclear Information and Resource Service website, NIRS, and there are action alerts there. The most recent one and the most important one is to reach out to your senators. New Yorkers have very important senators. Senator Schumer am I right? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Senator Schumer is really a really critical person in the Democratic leadership, and for New Yorkers to reach out to him and let them know, or let Senator Schumer know, that we must pass the Build Back Better Act without nuclear subsidies. We must pass the Build Back Better Act in the best version possible that does not support corrupt nuclear corporations over American families. That is one of the most critical things that we can do to reach out to the Senate, especially because that is where the negotiations are happening around Build Back Better at the moment.
We are out of time already. My God.
Boy, this is such good information, and our listeners are hearing you all now because WBAI is transmitting over the airwaves.
It's our audience support of the Transmitter Tower Fund that makes this possible. Everyone, please keep going to www.towerfund.wbai.org.
Yep. Let's all make a big effort to get the transmitter rent paid. We need you.
As usual, the time has flown by, and we do need to wrap it up. Thanks for joining us. And for more information, you can find Mana Jo Green at www.clearwater.org and Hannah Smay at www.nirs.org. NIRS.
Mainstream media won't give you all this information. Their corporate profit interests will never broadcast the details that Mana Jo and Hannah have shared today. That's why Ecologic and WBAI are so important. We need to exist.
And thanks to you, WBAI is catching up on our rent from the transmitter tower, but we need to get ahead so that we can concentrate on bringing you important news and information.
Donating to the Transmitter Tower Fund helps keep every single show on the air. Go to www.towerfund.wbai.org. Help WBAI take charge of our transmission tower rent. Our rent is more than $17,000 every month. That's about $250,000 each year, so we need everybody. towerfund.wbai.org.
You can even donate in the name of Ecologic. Radio may seem free, but there are costs, and our listener-supported radio station needs you. Call 212-209-2950 or go to www.towerfund.wbai.org. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
Join us next Friday, January 21st at 2:30 p.m., to hear the pros and cons of New Jersey's plastic recycling legislation.
To get environmental news on a variety of topics, such as the drilling boom continuing in the Biden administration, and to listen to the show again and any of our past shows, go to www.towerfund.wbai.org. www.ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org.
Also, those of you online, please sign up for our email list to stay connected with those of you on, and those of you on social media, please search for Eco-Logic.
And thanks to our terrific engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Friday, January 21st at 2:30 p.m. to hear about plastic recycling. Thanks so much, Manna and Hannah.
WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. Representative John Katko of New York said today he will not seek another term in Congress, becoming the third of 10 Republicans who voted last year to impeach former President Donald Trump to announce their retirement. In a statement posted to his Facebook page, Katko said that he made the decision, quote, so that I can enjoy my family and life in a fuller and more present way. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol subpoenaed some of the country's largest social media and tech companies after receiving what was described as inadequate responses to an August request for information. The four subpoenas were sent to Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and Alphabet, the parent company of both Google and YouTube. The committee is demanding records related to the spread of misinformation, efforts to overturn the 2020 election, domestic extremism, and foreign influence in the 2020 election. The Republican National Committee threatened to bar Republicans from election year debates in a letter that Chair Ron McDaniel sent to the Nonpartisan Commission on Presidential Debates. The RNC's concerns include the timing of the first presidential debate, changes to formats, and conditions in some cases, which include not notifying candidates of potential conflicts of interest among debate moderators. These concerns echo complaints made by Trump, who repeatedly accused the commission of unfair treatment, ultimately refusing to participate in the second 2020 debate. Tomorrow will mark the first time in 7 months that families of millions of children in the U.S. will not receive a monthly payment of the advanced child tax credit. This comes just as a new study led by the Boston University School of Public Health found the payments reduced food insufficiency in households across the country by 26%. The study concluded that the loss of these monthly payments may mean that children in families with low incomes may no longer have enough to eat in the months ahead. Meanwhile, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser has announced a unique $1.5 million aid initiative for young mothers living in poverty. The Strong Families, Strong Future pilot program will make direct transfers of $900 a month into the bank accounts of 132 young mothers in the district. Eligibility is limited to expectant and new mothers who live in wards 5, 7, and 8 and make 250% below the federal poverty level. The nonprofit Martha's Table will run the program and offer additional support services. Earth's average temperature in 2021 reached its sixth highest level since reliable temperature record keeping began in 1880, according to new reports from NASA and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Temperatures in 2021 were nearly 2 degrees Fahrenheit hotter than average temperatures in the late 19th century. Furthermore, 8 of the top 10 warmest years on our planet occurred in the last decade. A major winter storm system is expected to hit parts of the United States with heavy snow and rain over Martin Luther King Jr. holiday weekend, meteorologists have warned. Potentially freezing rain set to fall over parts of the Carolinas and the southern Appalachians this weekend, according to the National Weather Service. 51 million people are under winter storm warnings, watches, and advisories. Parts of the eastern seaboard will be dealing with a significant winter storm that will likely turn northwards up the east coast, forecasters predict. By Sunday afternoon, a significant weather event involving snow, sleet, and